Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Youth Unplugged, brought to you by the Bank of St. Lucia. Guys, it's another week and another enjoyable week of Youth Unplugged right here on RCI. I have with me a young man. I call him a young man, you understand? And he's big into martial arts. So, good afternoon, Kareem. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks. Quick and good afternoon, listeners. Also well.
Yeah, we're working. And every Thursday when I come inside, it's new energy. Actually, we came inside today with some brand new stamina energy. So big shout out to Blue Water. Big shout out to our sponsor of the show, the Bank of St. Lucia. Of course, people, you want to get a home, you want to get some land, go and ask Bank of St. Lucia about that home sweet home plan that they're offering right now. Also, people, be yourself wise. We're trying to think about your retirement, and a lot is going into that. So people, take a little plan, go and talk to the bank and get to know what's going on. All right? So Kareem, I want to ask you a little question before we even really pick up the thing that this afternoon. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. What do you say about myself? Well, before we jump into the meat of the matter, I've in terms of my educational background, I completed my studies in finance, business, and economics back in 2012, and I returned to St. Lucia to pursue my career in the field of business and finance. And I've been in the field of financial and data analysis for multiple companies throughout. So that is that's my side as a professional.
Okay. Yeah, I like to be professional, but apart from the professional, let me not go into the meat any matter. You're not into other sports, you're watching a little football, and then, you know, Champions League coming up.
But for sports, I'm more into NFL and basketball, now I'm rooting for the Heat.
So you're rooting for the Heat? Don't play now. You see, that's a good thing about when this summer just starting off. It's a good time. You know, Europa League just passed, you know, Sevilla won that. Roma is out there, and you know, probably not big in football. But for the next few weeks, I'll be asking my guests about the preferences, right? Because I know playoffs is coming up. You know, it's there already. And of course, Champions League coming up. So I'm trying to figure out where people really stand. Okay? So, educational background, you just told me you came back. You didn't go to UWE by any chance? I was checking out my UWE people too, you know.
Sorry, I didn't go to UWE. I went to Cameron University in Oklahoma and University of Nebraska. So, yeah, spent my time in the USA.
In the US, okay.
Yeah, about 8 years there.
I check out my UWE people every once in a while.
Good to check on that.
No, UWE is the place to be. You understand? UWE is definitely the place to be. Okay, so today we're going to be speaking a little bit about martial arts, right? And that's your passion.
Yes, that's right? My passion for over 28 years now.
28 years?
28 years into martial arts.
So you were a little boy and your mother took you and just put you in?
No, I actually started when I was in Form 1 at St. Mary's College.
Okay.
And, you know, that was being intrigued by all these martial arts movies. We saw, like the series, the cartoons, etc. I always said, like, you know what, I want to try and do that. And I was not involved with any other sports like cricket or basketball. In fact, I never made the teams, even though I tried. So when I signed up for it, I mean, the first thing I wanted to do was like, hey, I want to learn how to do these backflips, I want to bounce off the walls, like what we saw. But when my father introduced me to my late sensei, Victor Dudley, who passed away in the 2021, showed me a different side of martial arts that I actually enjoy, I love, and have the passion for it till now.
Okay. All right. Now, in your time at college, did they offer martial arts as like these clubs that we had at the school at the time when you were young leaders, you know, these sort of things? But actually, at my time, there was a martial arts, small martial arts club, so they would have karate at the school down in the gym. You know, in your time, was there anything like that at the school?
No, it was just more of our colleagues, because I had friends who did martial arts in other clubs. So every now and then, like during PE or break, we try to come together and do a little practice session.
And
people look at us and say, look at them crazy fellas.
they probably say, and probably a teacher passed and see it, and then they report you, boys, and them two fellas.
Even at A level, we used to do that, fellas, and used to be like, hey, look, the pyjama club coming, because you know, we're all in our whites.
I've just realized what you said. Okay, so I think that was a shift, at least for us. In my time, I went to college between 2010 and 2015. A young fella, you understand? But at that time, there was a guy, his father was actually big into martial arts, a guy, Spud Montooth. And his father used to come into the school, I think, remember when I was in Form 1 or so, and he would have a few guys going into, they're going to having a bit of a thing with karate. I was actually in karate at some point in my life, and I like it, you know, but it's the big but is what happened in karate, because you know, a lot of fellas, you know, you have tension, you have a lot of emotions going on in something like a karate karate drills. So I mean, I had my fair share. I went up to yellow belt. And that's not,
that's not too far.
That is too far. It's what's it? White.
Yeah, white, yellow, and then orange, red. Green.
Didn't have red purple. Belt.
Some schools have red belt, but it's like a red belt is between white and yellow.
What's I saying? I know I didn't just get the first belt. I know there's something in between that. All right. So 2022, you actually started up your own dojo. Can I use that word?
Yeah, dojo. Yeah,
okay,
dojo.
2022, start off your own dojo. What inspired you to start off that dojo in 2022?
Well, it wasn't something overnight. And going back to say when I returned to St. Lucia for my studies, and that was like, initially when I came back, I said, no, I want to help give back and with the youth, and karate was my avenue. So I was an assistant instructor to my late sensei, Victor Dudley, and he passed away in October 2021. So around that time now, I was at the crossroads between like, okay, I need to carry the mantle, but should I continue his name or time for now to create my own name and own brand? And the concept of creating the dojo was actually conceived when myself and my co-instructor, Carly, we went to Dubai for the World Karate Championships.
Wow.
And from there, we did a lot of observation of what's going on and said, you know what? I think when we return and things loosen up in terms of the COVID protocols, we can start this dojo. So now time for the name. I was like, okay, it's something that I can embrace and also a message people can embrace, because not everyone wants to be embracing a tiger or dragon or a blue bear. You name it. So I did some searching and I found this term called Kaizen. I was like, that's a nice ring to it. So when I looked it up.
It's easily pronounced.
Yes, Kaizen.
There's rules of the term.
Yes, Kaizen. And it's a term, it's a Japanese term used for continuous improvement. And it's actually these things like someone who's studying, there's a certain field in business, like Lean Sigma 6, it's a term used for continuous improvement. So it's a term that's used in karate, Japanese business culture, etc. So Kaizen means continuous improvement. And that's a term which I find that can resonate with everyone out there. Because at the end of the day, you want to do better for yourself.
Of course, 100%. Okay, so 2022, the inspiration came from a lot, I'm guessing.
Yes.
I mean, people sat in their homes during the COVID period, and people did a lot of thinking. I always say that. And one of the questions I asked a lot last year was, how did COVID affect your mindset? How did it affect your thinking? What did you get out of that? Because, I mean, a lot of new businesses came up during that short period. A lot of people lost a lot, but a lot of people gained. And what I mean gained, people gained a lot of knowledge. People looked at certain things and said, but this is a niche. Probably I could go into that sector and so forth. And when with respect to karate schools, I mean, I'm not very young. As a child, I can't even remember knowing probably about 5 dojos since I don't remember. So currently now, how many different dojos do we have in St. Lucia? I probably could think of your head.
From the top of my head, well, based on, we'll touch on that later in the program towards the end, but we have about, I'll say about 8 clubs that I know of that to be participating in my upcoming karate championships, hosted by myself and Sensei Karate. So, but there are plenty more out there in terms of, that have not been on the national scale to say, like, hey, we're here and you can come join us. And part of my goal is to reach out to those clubs and give them that platform for exposure. And at the end of the day, I want to see more St. Lucia take up karate, because when I speak to some of the older instructors, they used to talk about the days when the town hall where CCC is jam-packed.
Yeah,
Castries Comprehensive School. That was like, it was like a WWE event.
And I remember the town hall because when we had our things, we would be down there inside. Yeah. We trained in the Methodist school.
Yeah.
And then you would have the things down there, sometimes even at Pigeon Point. It was an interactive club because they would have days where they would have like a family day. And the family day, you would see all the parents of the students going to Pigeon Island. They'd have something like a lunch or something like that. So it was a very sociable thing. Yeah, that. So I know there are some benefits of it. And I want to probably ask you what a few of these benefits are. We could probably touch a few of them and probably continue with that. So why karate? Why should somebody decide, well, I have a 10-year-old son, or I have a 5-6-year-old son, I should just drop my son over at Kaizen?
All right. Well, not only Kaizen, but I was just promoting karate on the whole, because I'm located currently at Lafayette Moshi, and certainly based on space limitations, because of access, I actually encourage your based on your geographic location and times for other colleagues. So it's all about spreading the wealth, I should say. But for karate, like based on my personal experience and like I said, the other reasons, when someone goes on Google, Google gives you all the reasons, and most of them, majority of them are true in terms of firstly confidence. When you talk about confidence, how karate can build confidence, firstly it breaks you down. So when you start over, you find new capabilities to find within your body and your mindset that you can achieve new things. So, and also for competition wise, when you in a stadium on that mat performing your kata or routine in front of hundreds of people, but that is confidence.
You need confidence, because I'm telling you, I forget a piece already. You understand? I had to go left, I go right. You understand? So, you have to remain focused.
And that translates into, if you like in school or in business, you have to make a presentation, you will not be nervous or do your best. Like people, you stand and you own that room. And that's like one aspect of karate, like the confidence. When you talk about, you mentioned earlier about the social skills, you get to interact with a new set of camaraderies, the whole family aspect, because like I said, when you drop your 10-year-old child, it's just not drop and go about your business and put everything in the hands of the instructor, but they have other activities where we rally and need the support of the parents. So for instance, at Kaizen, we have a very strong parents committee group that's handling all the fundraising, etc. Said, you know what, I'll be the sensei, I'll focus on the technical training, I'll handle all the social things, and I'll give them my full support. Physical strength and flexibility, it helps you with performing your techniques, but just to stray a little bit, for as we get older, you know, our joints get a little tighter, we get office jobs, you sit down a lot. So these things, when the act of sitting down, you know, it increases like your lower back pain and other discomfort. So with the karate and give that avenue to continue to stretch your ligaments, you develop your own develop your physical capabilities with your own body, these things reduce the chances of these other long term illnesses. So that's one part of like increasing your physical capabilities. Self defense, which is a given.
That's a given, and I think that's one of the selling points for a lot of people. I could send my child to karate because my child learn how to fight. That's the first thing people
say. But there's a big but behind it, because one of the misconceptions, and like I've had it as well, like, you know, you watch a movie, you see a kid on the street is in trouble, you go to a karate dojo, in 1 month, you know all the techniques, come to a tournament and win.
Karate Kid.
Yes. That's a movie. But no, really and truly, it takes years of continuous practice to actually firstly learn the techniques, how to apply it, and then it comes second nature in your body. So you don't have to think twice of if you're in a fight or flight situation.
What you gonna do?
Yeah, what you gonna do? Like, we're just gonna freeze, or will you put up a fight, will you flight, which means run away? And at the end of the day, self-defense is not really staying there and putting up a fight, but also awareness. So if you, like, your body's so in tune and your senses, your awareness, so like if you see a situation is just not looking right, your instincts and everything comes from training, will tell you to know that you can avoid that completely, because avoidance is the best form of self-defense.
Of course, of course. And I want you to say that again. Avoidance is the best form of self-defense. Watch me, we could say that again before we move.
Yes.
Because that's very important. A lot of the time, people cannot differentiate, but should I find myself in a thing there or not? And I was actually telling you off air that I know a guy that was a black belt in karate, and every time you see we go out, looking for trouble. Oh. You understand? And there are people like that, you know. You understand? They looking for trouble. He's one of the guys who went, I'm going to go out, I'm going to drink a little something, I'm going to drink a little, and I'm going to, I tell you, hey, buddy, I'm telling you, the guy is, the confidence is through the roof. You understand? Even if you could take anything on. You understand? So any trouble that comes his way, bring it. Yeah.
Well, that's something we don't really encourage as instructors. Like, the first thing we said, that what we teach you is to, as a last resort. So don't, like, not because you know how to defend yourself to go out to a party and show off to say, like, hey, let me try and impress this girl, let me look for trouble, so I can stand up for her, you know?
Just be real. There are fellas that go to that. You understand? There are fellas that go.
Like you said, like, the karate, even though the styles may differ, there are core principles that they embrace. And it's not about, like, you have to get a black belt, you have to win championships. But it's more like the development of your character, being truthful, respect for each other, avoiding conflict, and, you know, courtesy, and you know, putting that effort. So, you know, these are core principles of mostly all karate schools out there.
Of course.
And that's what we teach, and like the physical part is like the last element of it.
Yeah. And actually pulled up another one here, you know, I see something in lower blood pressure and heart rate. Participants in martial arts have been shown to lower blood pressure and heart rate, but that's not all, because of a similarity to high intense or interval training, martial arts can improve overall heart health, low cholesterol, etc., etc. You know, we have a problem with that in Sri Lanka.
Oh, yes.
We have a problem,
yes,
with blood sugar, so that's a good little thing to go on. You know, martial artists enjoy all the benefits of regular exercise without having to run on a treadmill or lift weights. And that's facts. I remember coming from karate on evenings and I'm sweaty. You'd not say it's just the ghee that has you getting sweaty. Now. It's literally the work you do. I mean, the push-ups you may end up doing because you did something wrong. You know, that sort of thing really pushes you.
But you know where you get the best workout in? And like you said, you do the katas.
Yeah, the katas.
Trust me, if you do someone, you do the beginning kata, you do that 5 times, you get as much of a workout than running on a treadmill. And on top of that, the type of workout you get, you work out your upper body, your lower body, your breathing, your abdominals.
I don't know who came up with these things, but the person that came up with them things literally had a great mindset, because you're very right in saying, I go and I put my hand down, I put my X hand down, I move to the left, I move to the right, I stretch in my back, you know,
exactly.
I stretch in different parts of my body. So we've seen the flexibility, we've seen all of these things that we've spoken about earlier within things like, for example, the gutters.
Yes.
Understand? Actually, I have another one here, stress relief. And I think that's very important, because sometimes you need to get a little load off. A run might help you.
And I said, like, apart from the stress relief, when you consistently see that, that exertion of all that energy out when you deliver like your punch or the kick and shout. It's not just in a ki for ki's sake, but actually it comes from like the core area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not for your lungs or your throat. So when you learn how to say it properly, that's where that release and stress comes throughout the regular training of when someone says that ki.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not like, you know, making fun of saying that, you know, you're doing karate.
Nice. Watch me. I used to make a hash of this.
Yeah.
A joke of a Nazi.
Like in my students, I said, say it loud. Like, let people know there's a karate school and not, you know, any other thing. So when you see a KI, people down the road shush your hair and come up and say, what's going on? So that's the one of the ways that you come from a long day of work or school, you have a bad day. And trust me, 2 days ago, I got some bad news at me, real shaken up. Apart from the support I got from my families and close ones, I went to karate, and when I said those things and I took a little sparring session, I just felt really good after that. So I mean, that no matter your age, it applies to
you
all.
You really think, okay, I 100% take that. I have a question for you though.
Yeah.
What is the difference in the black belts? Because I see you have something in a 4th degree black belt, and I see you have somebody else their 3rd degree black belt. And so is that telling me that Kareem Sifley is better than Kara Lee? Is that telling me that Sensei Kareem just know more thing than Sensei Lee? I don't know, tell me.
Okay, well, in our system, Shotokan, like I said, there are different versions of variations of karate. So some schools may have different belts, some may have different degrees, some may have different ways of achieving it. So in my system, which is accredited by Shotokan Karate International Federation out of Japan, it takes you roughly about 8 years to achieve your 1st degree black belt. So you have the system of like going from white to yellow to orange, green, blue, purple. There are 3 levels in brown.
3 levels in brown?
Yes.
Now that's surprising.
And then you get to your black belt.
That's so why it takes 8 years.
Yes.
Because I'm saying you could move from white to probably orange in a year. No?
About a year. Some people actually skip yellow to go to orange.
Yeah, they skip me. They leave me.
So, like, when you get to a black belt now, it's like if once you get your 1st degree black belt, to get your 2nd degree, you need to continuously train for 2 years after you get your 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So now, when you get your 2nd, go for your 3rd, 3 years on top of the 2. For your 3rd, 4 years on top of your 3 to get to your 4th. So, for instance,
I just got 15, 16 years in there.
Right, so 28 years I've been practicing.
Wow.
When I recently got my 4th degree black belt, it was actually a training period of 4 years since I got my 3rd degree black belt.
Yeah, so that's compound interest.
Yes, compound interest, in a good way.
Yeah. It's coming.
People that have 9 degree black belts and 8 degree, just know. That's a lifetime thing.
Okay. I just know 4th degree, I haven't played with you. you know, second degree, I definitely bring you, and third degree, now I stay in Awe. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right. So, okay, we located in Moshi. That's actually the question I had to ask. But moving on, age range. So how young can I drop somebody off there?
We normally take them from 5, and because at the age of 5, we understand that's the age now they actually can comprehend stuff and
have the psychomotor skills.
I mean, some acts like, you know, the child is 14, 5, we make a few exceptions. And like I said, we're not about that, just drop your money, your child, collect money, and go out of business. Mm-hmm. We really care. So sometimes if the child still has some challenges in understanding, some difficulties, we let the parents know that, hey, you know, there's some challenges. The child may either, one, take more than a year or even sometimes 3 years before they progress to the next rank. And mm-hmm. then, so the misconceptions or misunderstandings parents have is that they equate it to, like, traditional academics. So, you know, we all start in grade one at the same time.
So how my child moving
up? My child a white belt for 5 years now. And is this about,
I feel that reminds me of my mother. I don't like to say. I want to probably say how
and
I say
like, it. To be honest, like, those who actually wait the longest, long-term, actually succeed and they surpass everyone because mm-hmm. there's that now create that inner drive and to just go out there and just do better
than everybody else.
And
yep.
I'll go out and read and said, yeah, I mean, self. I mean, when I went for my black belt the first time, the man failed me.
Uh-huh.
The instructor from Japan, he look at me, he say, put your thumb up and put it down and say, come back next year.
Wow.
And even when I was going for my green belt, I mean, I didn't get the time because I know I didn't perform properly. I mean, I was slipping and sliding all over the floor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these things just gave me that drive to just continue pushing because I know this is something I love, this is something I wanted to do, and it has a greater purpose. Let me continue fight for it.
Okay, well, I would like to tell you, when I went from my yellow belt, I failed the next one. And that's when I stopped going to karate. That's exactly what happened. After that day, I seen up and I safe on that. So we start off from 5 and up to what age do you stop? Think people at any age? You know?
There's no stopping. There's no people. Actually had some, a few started at the age of 50 and they got their black belt at around the age of 57 or what, and they're still going strong. So right, so there's absolutely no limitations. And even like when I went on the international competing circuit, there's actually a division called para karate where if you have special needs or challenges, mm-hmm. there's actually competitions for that category. So in fact, if someone can go on YouTube with para karate, I mean, when you see it out there, it's just absolutely amazing. Like, you wouldn't think that these people have any challenges or special needs whatsoever.
Okay. I actually Googled martial arts, right? Because often people tell you, I'm in taekwondo, or I'm in karate, you know, in kickboxing, in jujutsu, all different kind of things. Can we say that's all underneath one umbrella, or is there significant differences in each of these things that I've just mentioned?
No, you're actually, I'm correct. All these things fall under the one umbrella called martial arts, because martial arts derives from terms of military.
Mm-hmm.
So all these disciplines you mentioned, jiu-jitsu, karate, taekwondo, though they have, et cetera, though they have different styles to, like, ways of teaching you how to protect yourself or fight, mm-hmm. they all embrace the same core disciplines. And as I said, just falls under the one umbrella martial arts. So if someone's into martial arts, then you can question them, what branch of martial arts? So they say, okay, karate or taekwondo or jiu-jitsu. And in my case, you say karate like that. Okay, what style? Mm-hmm. I know, and the conversation can go on and on because it's Shotokan, Wado, Ryu,
you says,
name it.
They're a mixed martial artist. That probably means they're using a few of these different.
Yeah, so they actually so the mixed martial arts, which is now the common thing, and like just a few weeks ago, my good colleague Andrew Murray, who hosted the tournament, I mean, and he said that he and I started karate Shotokan at the same time, and mm-hmm. he got his black belt and he ventured off into other avenues. So the mixed martial arts, from what we've seen, like on this commercialized, you know, most of these fighters, either one, they come from a martial arts background, from karate or jiu-jitsu, or even boxing can even fall under that because it follows the same core principles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they call it mixed martial arts, because they use these, take this position, like, okay, you versed in various different styles and you want to come to the ring and compete. And this is what they embrace. So, and that too also has this form of discipline because there are the rules. You can't just go and fight anyhow you can. And I myself, I was a referee at the last event. And
okay.
I mean, when I saw it, I knew how to control it and make sure that, you know, there's no tempest flares. And the athletes who competed, I mean, they were very excellent. And, you know, I mean, a very safe spot to say, and I'll be a strong advocate for even that form of discipline down the line.
Okay. So you actually have an event coming up at the end. Yes. Is it at the end of the month?
No, next week. 11th of June.
Yeah, hey, well, that's quite soon. So we just shed some light on that. We have, 10 days to go?
Yes.
So what's going on? Yes. What's going on next week, Sunday?
Okay, before just saying, like, okay, what Carryman Carly just wake up one day and decide to have a tournament? No, it's actually what led up to the tournament was when we went to our outing in Dubai at the World Championships level,
mm-hmm.
we were like, okay, this may be our last ride at competing at this higher scale. And we see a lot of things that you can take back to teach the youth to get them up to that level and also networking with other resources. So we were like, one of the key aspects of developing the young karatekas and keep them interested is competition. So with that, we said that, okay, apart from teaching and getting your belt, let us host a competition. And you were like, all right, let's go big. Because, I mean, there will be the first major karate competition in St. Lucia since 2019 and COVID came onto the scene.
Okay.
And also, we also said that it's just not a competition for students to come and get a medal and go about their business. We've also invited a clubs from Martinique. Two have taken up, well, one major club took the invitation and one instructor from a club is coming down. So the Saturday before the tournament, we have in these two coaches out of Martinique conducting a training seminar for our local athletes to at least share the knowledge, because they have trained and coached athletes from Martinique who went on to represent France at the highest level of competition. So we're using those resources to help develop our youth in that aspect. Mm-hmm. And in the afternoon, we have a certified referee from Martinique to help build our pool of officials. So when I meant to want out in, not to stray too much from the competition.
Yeah, that's fine. We have a bit of time.
Yes. Someone brought attention, said, good referees make good athletes. It took me a while to register that. And when we come to realize that, you know, sometimes you may have a local competition and there's poor officiating and an athlete gets selected based on
Poor officiating.
Goes out to represent St. Lucia and then he's like, I'm not getting the calls. They're getting scored bad. They're getting a shock of their lives. And you may find out, like, hey, when you're down in St. Lucia at the local competition, you're getting probably points on poor punching techniques versus it's supposed to be corrected. So when you now build the capacity of the referees to spot these things and help give feedback to the athlete, they go back now to a training camp and improve on that along with their coaches, etc. So that is one aspect that I actually look forward to the most, in that the building of our referees. And I'm excited to see returning karatekas, like those who fell off the map for like 8 years or so,
coming back into it,
and to officiate. So we're saying that it's another avenue for me to preach out and say that, you know, even though it may not be the active thing of karate, you can still be involved, as there are many aspects for refereeing, administration. And even for referees, you may get opportunities to travel, because when you have competitions, they're like, we want a pool of referees to help come up and neutralize that.
So it doesn't look like, okay, we have something biased in Martinique, when you have referees from Martinique,
people that's, a, that's the problem that, yeah. that happened. Like Martinique and Guadeloupe kept on
back and forth.
Wow. And they actually welcomed one of our qualified St. Lucian referees, who was actually the late Sensei Patrick Edward.
Okay.
So this is something that we also want to bring back into developing the art form. So the competition is on the 11th of June. We're looking at a start time of 10 a.m. sharp. And I say 10 a.m. sharp, I mean that because I'll be at the stadium at 7 a.m. setting up. Athletes coming at 8 a.m.
Stadium? What?
I mean, sorry, the Bossage Road
indoor facility.
Yes.
I
use that. I know, I'm competing always in stadium.
Yeah, yes,
but
yes.
Bossage
Road indoor facility. Okay.
It's a great venue for the event.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 8 clubs participating, and including the one from Martinique that's coming on with a delegation of 25 athletes with their parents. So on Friday, you'll see a group of young karatekas coming out from the podcast trees and probably be up in Roddy Bay.
Okay.
And when I was finalizing the registration to enter into the software, 120 athletes, junior athletes, from the range of 8 years to 23 years old. So we're going to be a tight,
so they're
going to
have a lot of fights.
Yes, we're going to have the routines in the morning section, which is like the katas.
Mm-hmm.
And in the afternoon, is going to reorganize the mats, the rings, to organize for the kumite, or you say the fight, right. Mm-hmm. Which I think everyone looks forward to.
No, that's any tournament. Anything we're going to be looking forward to.
There are some people waiting to drop the Nasha word, and we don't really encourage it, but I mean, it comes out every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But this competition, firstly, it's the, we have a lot of, a pool of young athletes, the most of the ranks between yellow up to green. We have a few senior black belts. So it's for us to come out and really throw our support to them. They're taking this bold step into stepping in, breaking barriers, boosting their confidence. And at the end of the day, it's us promoting karate, and especially with all what's going on, when you go on Facebook and you see the negative news
about
crime, this and that. I mean, that's one avenue that we can come show our support as to taking one step closer to fighting against crime and building our youth to give back to society and not take away from society.
I agree 100%. And we highlighted a number of the positive things that karate brings out. And yeah. I think based on that alone, people can check Kaizen. We in Lafayette, we were looking to take some people from 5 years old, as early as that, we're taking them inside.
And if you come on Sunday to watch and see what it's like, I'm sure you're eager to say, okay, there's karate, let me see. Bring my young one to see what it's about. I mean, the admission is only $10. That's only.
That's what I'm asking.
Them kind of ideas are $10 and whatnot.
$10. That's a bois. That's ice cream. But we still did. That's light. Yeah. You're going to have some food and.
Yeah, there'll be. My parents' committee, they have that on
lock.
Plenty of food and drinks on sale. We have our merchandise, some t-shirts out there for sale. We have Kaizen merchandise. Other clubs, we'll allow them the platform to advertise their thing. So if not everyone will come Lafayette, you can check out some of our counterparts that have a dojo, like say up in Lance Road, up in Corinth, down in Denry. So yes, people ask about karate in the South. There's actually a club in Denry that's starting up, and they'll be participating. So
okay,
I mean, it's our way of promoting.
So we island wide. 100%. Of course, we have our twins with us here today. Yeah. Understand? They part of us. They with us the entire summer, as I said, entire summer, right?
For a month. The month of June.
Okay, so we're going to be here for probably another 3 weeks. Any questions you have for Mr. Sifley?
Yeah, I have a question. So this is speaking from experience, because believe it or not, both me and my brother also did martial arts when we were like younger. So what do you think is the most rewarding feeling you felt like after you've stopped or you're planning for retirement, as you said?
Okay, the rewarding feeling, but firstly, when I quote-unquote retired, because it never stopped karate, but I just took a step back from competing at a high level. So one of the rewarding factors was that being able to break ground, open doors, and see what's out there for the crop of upcoming Sinushin karateka. So saying that I was part of a team that was very helpful in us getting Sinushin to participate at the Caribbean Championships, Pan American Championships, World Karate Championships, and even getting one foot in close to the Olympics, where I took part in the Olympic qualifier. So Little Saint Lucia, Karim, along with my group of instructors, head coach Sensei Michael Wellington, one of my coaches, Sensei Anthony Leos, chief instructor, president of the Karate Federation, Ezra Jabaptist, Oliver Lawrence, you name it, too many to mention, and don't want to get into trouble, all contributed in getting Saint Lucia onto the map and saying that, yes, we know the pathway and we know what it takes to now focus on the up-and-coming karatekas to get Saint Lucia back at the World Championships and hopefully the next Olympic cycle in 2020. So that was my rewarding feeling after closing the books on my competitive career.
Okay. Anything else from you guys?
Yes. So for another thing that I've noticed is that you said that there's a lot of contributing factors into going into martial arts that you have to take into account. It's not only just the self-defense that you have to try to gain for yourself, but the reason why I was put into martial arts was revealed later on, and that was for psychological development, meaning I have to stay focused on one specific task, and it's helped me to do that. So what do you think was the main goal for when you did martial arts?
My main goal was, like what I saw in the movies, I was always fascinated saying, like, okay, for my physical development, I want to know how to fight, how to protect myself. Because I've always been like relatively reserved. But it also unlocked a part of me now, because people see growing up saying Karim was always shy, Karim was always quiet. But over time, it helped me, you know, break those misconceptions and be confident in saying that when it comes to either at work or school, I can go out there and own the room and make a presentation. But if you see me out with a big crowd, I'll still be reserved, but I'll still be approachable and talk. I'm very social. And in fact, during the karate thing, the confidence actually gave me avenues to do other things outside of karate. So there was a period of 2 years, I actually went on stage and do bodybuilding. And, you know, even most recently, if you check like my profile, you see like a modern carnival costumes. That's something I never thought I would have done. But, you know, like the confidence it gave me in karate, the physical capabilities, is one of these benefits that I enjoyed out of it.
Okay. All right. We actually run out of time. We're seven minutes.
I want to ask a few questions.
Sure. Okay, 7 minutes over time, but we could probably take one, yeah, before we cut
off. So you, like how you spoke earlier, you said you had a personal connection to your sensei. What do you think was the best thing you got out of being with your sensei even before he passed away? Like, what was the one thing you can remember that stuck out to you the most about being part of it?
Being part of it, I can say that when I mentioned about the social and the family factor in karate, he was like my karate father. So, I mean, I was one of his first students when he opened his doors and stood throughout all these years. And even when I went away to study and I came back on breaks, there was always that connection to always go and check on each other. And, I mean, I'm sad to say that his last, obviously the last time we were with each other was when he was my coach at the Olympic qualifying tournament. So it was just, I mean, sad but fitting that, you know, that my last outing with him was at the highest level of competition. And that was the connection I built with my late sensei.
Okay. Thank you so much again, Mr. Sifley, for popping in today.
Thank you.
We're actually looking forward to the 11th. 11th, it's going down,
yes,
people,
Sunday,
at Innova City.
Get there before 10. There's another activity that will be taken from the Roddy Bay road up to Grosley. I won't mention it, but once you're there, you save. You have some DJ providing you some entertainment as well.
Well, the place loud.
Yes, the place loud. Yes, we're going all out.
Okay, so Mr. Karim Sifley popping in, doing his thing, of course. You can check him out on Instagram, you know.
Yes. My Instagram handle, Karim Sifley, KARIMSIFFLET. And also my the karate page, Kaizen, is also in the profile. And you can also look it up at Kaizen Shotokan Karate.
Definitely.
And feel free to send me a DM for information. And, you know, I respond in quick time. I always have the phone by me. So, you name
it. Yeah, man. I like to hear that. You see people answer the DMs right away?
Yes.
You ready for business? You're 100% ready for business. So, thanks again so much, Mr. Sifley.
Anytime. Guys. Thank you
very much.
This
has been another edition of Youth Unplugged, brought to you by the Bank of Ceylon Show. People, again, remember, head to the bank for all your financial needs. Bank of Ceylon Show, that's all the bank you need. My name is Khalid Fidel. I'll see you again next week on Youth Unplugged as we continue the summer months. People, I tell you, we're doing it loud. Of course, Carnival around the way. So, you know, we're going to see some artists popping through, of course. We're going to see our BOSL contestant in a little while, because Carnival Queen is also on the way. So look forward to that. This has been an edition of Youth Unplugged. I will see you again next week.